North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. Tuned into North Idaho News of the Week. It's Panhandle Community Radio 88.5, and it is Friday, May the 9th. My name is Jack Peterson. I'm here with Chris Bessler, as usual. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you this beautiful spring day?
Well, a beautiful day it is, and I am, I'm feeling good about that. I'm enjoying the weather quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It feels, it's nice to have a few nice days here. And how about yourself, Chris?
I'm well as well. Thank
Good.
You.
We're also here in the studio with Ben Olson, who is the publisher of the Sandpoint Reader. Good morning to you, Ben.
Good morning.
And I will begin, as usual, with a rundown of the headlines of the day. And I'm going to start up in Bonner's Ferry. In Bonner's Ferry, the Canadian flag has been re-raised at City Hall. City Council declared a 365-day special occasion to honor its Canadian neighbors, which is a way of sidestepping House Bill 96, the state law that had forbidden the flying of flags other than the official flags of the government in question. This comes in a week after the Attorney General's office had directed them to take it down, which they did, but then the council passed this new special occasion, and so it is back up. The Attorney General's office has said that they may take legal action against them now. The state law is believed to have widely understood to have been kind of targeting pride flags, particularly in Boise. Boise took a different tactic. It's not a special occasion. It's now an official city flag, the pride flag, but they are also flying their forbidden flag in opposition to the state law, or so it would seem. Boise also passed an official city flag honoring organ donation, which I thought was a little interesting side note there.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's the thing about Bonner's Ferry is they're the closest Idaho city to Canada.
Yeah.
And they feel an affinity to our Canadian neighbors. So, and they're exercising their independence here from what the state is saying.
Yeah. And there's an interesting piece that's in the Bonner's Ferry Herald, I think, and then reprinted in the Bee. You can read all about that from Ned Norton, and we'll
it's in today's Bee. Yeah,
talk a little more about that with Ben Olson in a second. Other rounding out the week's news on Saturday, there was the Idaho Fireplace Forum, so called because of the prominent fireplace at Sandpoint Community Hall where the forum took place. Lawmakers Senator Jim Woodward and Representative Mark Souder from District 1 held this rather wide-ranging conversation with the public, taking questions from the audience and also running their own sort of program explaining the actions of the legislature that just concluded in April of this year. With Chief Jeff Armstrong also in attendance, multi-district fire chief Jeff Armstrong, who gave a little update on the fire districts and talked about the levy that's going to be on many ballots in our area on the May 20th election day. The Army Corps of Engineers held two events. One was in Ponderé. We talked about it briefly last week. And then again, they were in Cusick, Washington, just talking about the impact of the repair efforts at the Albany Falls Dam. Currently, the lake level is coming up and is at 2,056.1 feet above sea level is the surface of the lake. That's about 6 feet shy of full pool as of this morning. Let's see. Early voting began Monday for that May 20th levy, or that May 20th election. As we mentioned last week, there's no actual candidates on the ballot. It's all levies, and we can talk about a little bit more specific about those levies in just a moment. In the city of Sandpoint, a couple of actions from the city council. For one thing, they have shrunk the council voted, I think, 5-1 to shrink the official area of impact. This is, again, in response to a new state law. The area of impact is understood as the area that the city, it's outside of city limits, but it's an area that the city could potentially annex or grow into as population demands it. The existing area of impact was thought was too large. It violated the new state law in a few different ways, so it shrunk rather dramatically. The new area of impact, I think, is only about 30% of the area that it was before. It's also not in perfect agreement with the area of impact for the city of Dover, so the final determination of where that boundary line will be is going to be made by the county commission. Also, the city warns residents that it has again been impersonated by a scammer for the second time since December. So far, nobody has reported having fallen victim to that scam, but if you get a phone call from somebody claiming to be the city of Sandpoint and demanding development fees for or something along those lines, you can probably safely disregard that, or at the very least follow up in at City Hall and make sure you're talking to a real person. Yeah, this is a victim again for the second time since December. There was also mentioned, I think, that Clark Fork has also been targeted, and they did see some losses at when they were the victim of a scam.
Yeah, I think that was over 400,000. But they've recovered at least a couple hundred thousand of them, as I saw reported recently. I don't know if you had it in the reader, Ben.
We didn't have an update on the them getting the money back, but yeah, they did receive some back.
The one last note here: the Sandpoint Reader takes home 14 awards from the Idaho Press Club, and editor Hagedon named to serve on the Idaho Press Club board. Bonner's Ferry Bonner's Ferry Herald and the Bonner County Daily Bee also earning honors at that awards banquet down in Boise. Congratulations to you, Ben, on another excellent year of reporting.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, shed a little light. What were the awards for? What specific things did you get awarded?
Yeah, so every year they have the Idaho Press Club banquet, which we call Nerd Prom. And yeah,
we being the reader staff, yeah, but not necessarily everybody around the state.
We're trying to lobby to get the name changed officially, but no, yeah, we did pretty well. Zach got a couple of first place awards. I believe one was for opinion. He had a series category on the Army Surplus Fire, and then the editorial category. His story about the hypocrisy, cynicism, and irony from the State House to the sidewalks of Coeur d'Alene. Sorry, I tried to channel Zach's voice there. I got a first place for a story about BGH's exoskeleton suit and a couple of second places. But the real winner of the night was Sansari Mitchell.
Star of the night.
She beat Zach in one category and she beat me in one category. So she is now replacing us as we speak.
Hopefully she's rubbing your nose in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, she did really well. She got three first place plaques. And they one was for light feature. Another was from an arts entertainment piece. Another for a political report, which Zach sweeps that category usually every year, and she got him this year. And we got second general excellence. So we're pretty happy. It's nice to get recognition for the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Jack said, the Bee and the Herald both, the Herald won two first places for sports prep and education report categories. And they also won second for general excellence. I'm sorry, the Bee did. And then the Bee won a couple of second places as well. So it was nice to cheer them on while we're at the banquet. You know, we don't make it down there very much from the North contingent of news. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to cheer on our fellow reporters. And
did anybody from the Bee get down there for the
awards? No, we carried them back up for Carolyn and dropped them off. So
yeah, cool.
Well, congratulations. Let's talk a little bit, if we haven't exhausted the subject, this Bonner's Ferry story, I think, is pretty interesting. The flag going back up, and especially, Ben, within the last month, I think you were the main writer on a pretty lengthy piece about the relationship along our northern border. And the impact that national affairs are kind of having and being felt here in Sandpoint as well as in Bonner's Ferry.
Yeah.
I believe the council voted unanimously to declare this 365-day special occasion. And I thought that was particularly interesting. Bonner's Ferry seem generally to lean in the same direction as the rest of the state does. I think it's a rural area, and so for them to kind of so clearly take actions in the opposite direction of the state house it's sort of an interesting development, I think.
I agree.
Yeah. And we'll see, I guess, if that's the end of the fight or not, but I kind of doubt it. I think the Attorney General's office is probably going to respond and ask them to do something about that, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Or the legislature will come back and
change
the rules.
Yeah, emergency session to...
I mean, how big of a margin did House Bill 96 pass by? Do you know that? I don't see it.
Good question.
Reported in the story in the Bee.
I'll have that for you in just a second.
The city's declaration was that they reserve the right to self-govern. And this is kind of a question, I think, of the legislature letting municipalities and local governments decide what they want to do on issues such as this. So
I think one of the main problems lies with we don't consider ourselves a border state or you know, so to speak. I mean, we had this problem when Zach and I were interviewing Congressman Fulcher in our office last week. And, you know, he was kind of surprised by a couple of the statements we made about the fact that Idaho is a border, especially North Idaho is a border state. And we rely on our Canadian neighbors for, you know, for trade, for recreation, for tourism. And when you put these restrictions and you have these, you know, this national rhetoric that's, you know, the 51st state stuff and the tariffs and all that stuff, it has really gotten to the psyche of Canadians. Mm-hmm. And they are mobilized. You know, they have that elbows up statement, essentially saying, you know, if somebody's going to come at you, put your elbows up and get ready.
That's a hockey term.
Yeah. You know, it's,
and of course they're big on hockey up there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think Bonner's Ferry recognizes the fact that they are, not only a border town, but they're, you know, they're sister cities with our friends across the border. And I think just like when you start banning books, you see the backlash to that. You see people go out and seek those books. And if you start banning flags, people are going to find ways to fly that flag. And we've seen it in Boise. Even Salt Lake City passed, you know, an ordinance recognizing the pride flag, or, you know, a way to get around these laws. And it's interesting developments.
That state law that banned the flying of non-official flags passed 53-17 in the House and 20-11 in the Senate. Cornell Razor, our legislative representative, voted in favor. Souder opposed, and Woodward also opposed on the House floor in the Senate. So there, there you have it. Yeah, an interesting, I mean, I guess I do think that they mentioned in that piece in the B that it had been brought up that, like, there would be some, you know, collateral damage. I think that the target we seem to understand was the flying of, like, of a pride flag in Boise and other, you know, related flags like that, where you might say they're making a political statement. But it was immediately seen that, you know, there would be, there were other flags that people would not necessarily object to that, that would be hit by this bill. But anyway, it passed anyway. And now, now we see what happens next. You mentioned that, that Congressman Fulcher was in the reader offices, and we didn't talk about that last week at all. I would just like to say on our airwaves that anybody who hasn't read that interview is missing out. It's worth seeking out. You and the editor, Mr. Hagedon, did an excellent job. And,
thank you. Yeah, we're you know, it's funny, we're getting pushback from people on the left saying that, why are you giving this guy so much space? I got a few emails from people on the right.
Yeah, a couple letters this week on that.
Yeah,
at least one.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when folks, whatever side of the aisle they're on, when they chastise a newspaper for reporting the news. I don't understand. It's a congressman came into our office and we asked him tough questions and we gave him pushback. I was proud of the interview that we gave him, actually. I don't think he gets asked these questions very much by people in Idaho. And, you know, to his credit, he sat for longer than he agreed. He answered all of our questions, sometimes in a circuitous way, but he answered all our questions and he participated. Some of the things he said, we challenged. Some of the things he said, we didn't have a chance to challenge, but... Mm-hmm. You know.
Did he drop in unexpectedly, or
no?
They set it up.
They set it up a couple days before, and you know, we said, "Come on down."
Was he impressed by your typewriter collection?
I think
whenever you have in your office,
whenever anybody walks into our office, they are surrounded by 30 or 40 typewriters, and then they look around and they're like, "Oh, this is the entire office." Okay, and yeah, it's like part dorm room, part newspaper office. It's a small place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know, was he in town for very long? What brought the congressman to Sandpoint?
Well,
any idea?
Every few years or so, the our congressmen like to connect with the constituents. Mm-hmm. And while he didn't have any town halls with the public, he did meet with several members of the media. Yeah. And yeah.
And he got some criticism for not holding town halls, ducking questions from his constituents. And town halls in other states have been pretty contentious, actually.
It is. And I one of the points I brought up with Congressman Fulcher is that we're getting a lot of pushback, or not pushback, we're getting a lot of feedback from our readers. And it's not the ones that he thinks, probably. These are, you know, we're getting letters from hardcore Republicans, you know, Vietnam veterans, people who have voted Republican all their life, and they'll probably continue to vote Republican. They're the ones who are weighing in right now. And, you know, we're seeing this souring of moods. And so I brought that to his attention. So, like, you know, you have to pay attention across the spectrum, the political spectrum of Idaho, to understand what's going on in our minds, in our hearts. And, you know, I hope he took that to heart.
Mm-hmm. And folks can go read that if you missed it last week on sandpointreader.com, and then click to last week's, go to the past issues, and you'll see last week's there. You can read it on the flip page. So let's take it down one government unit. What happened at the town hall that Sauder and Woodward held last Saturday? You guys were both there. I don't know if you were there.
We were in Boise for Nerd Prom.
Right.
Yeah. But we did cover it through the recordings, mm-hmm. which were so well applied by Jack from the KRFY.
Yeah, Jack.
We
broadcast. Going there to broadcast that. That was it's a big effort to do that.
It was nice to be there in the room. What to say about that other than they were. Both legislators, it was a sort of a freewheeling town hall. Everybody was very respectful of the audience in attendance as well. And they just, after I think their initial, 20, 30 minutes, the presentation, they just opened it up to two questions and took questions for the probably like an hour and a half. It seemed like to me they were willing to answer anything. One thing in particular that kind of stuck out was how much Senator Woodward had to talk about the Albany Falls Dam, and you reported on that as well, Ben. The actions that the state is taking, what actions they can take, and the actions that he's taking in particular. I can't remember what new committee, the name of the new committee that he is on, but he is, but he's on one. And if I find it in here, I believe he's chairing a new committee, chairing a committee about something to do with kind of natural resources, and will be taking a close hand. We'll be following this, the Albany Falls gate repair situation, pretty closely.
I believe you meant the Legislative Council on River Governance.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I think that's right, Ben. Thank you. I think people should go and listen to the recording because it's worth it.
I think Souter and Woodward do a great job together. They complement each other well, and mm-hmm. these town halls that they're hosting. They did one about a month ago at the VFW. It's same vibes. I mean, I feel like this is what people want out of their legislators. You know, they just want to ask questions. They want to hear updates. So, I mean, kudos to both of them for throwing these participating in these town halls.
Yeah. On that, before we kind of run out of time here, I guess you did attend the Albany Falls Dam meeting, or the Army Corps of Engineers meeting, which wasn't just about Albany Falls Dam. We did. This was, I think, last Thursday, so we talked about it a bit on last Friday's show, too. But they are, they have announced that the Spree Point campground will be closed this summer due to limited staff.
Correct.
That was one thing, one comment that Woodward made, is that there is, he at least is trying to find some wiggle room. Maybe if the campground's closed, they could still at least have the gate open for people to launch their boats. Could be a day use only thing. You know, that wouldn't require the same kind of staffing commitments that a campground does. So far, no announcements on that. But what was your take on that meeting? The meeting at the Pondere Events Center. That the Army Corps of Engineers hosted last week.
Yeah, that it wasn't as well attended as their previous public meetings. Mm-hmm. It was probably about half the number of people that were there. But the questions, to start with, I feel like the Army Corps, their takeaway was essentially this year will be a lot more normal, quote unquote. They're calling for the lake level to reach summer pool by June 20th. Last year, I believe it was June 19th that it reached. Not really outside of the normal range there.
Yeah, pretty typical, actually.
They usually shoot for full summer pool before the 4th, I think, is their guidance. So, I know a lot of folks are nervous about this gate issue because it affects the lake level coming up a certain time, or it affects our ability to manage the summer pool. But the large takeaway here was that it's mostly going to be the same, and that it's not necessarily a flood risk year as of right now. So that was the takeaway with the gate stuff. The Springy Point stuff, the questions that came from the audience, it was a little disheartening as a reporter watching the community interact with the Army Corps, because there's, it's hard to deny that there's an anti-federal government bone in a lot of folks' bodies around here. They think mm-hmm. that state of Idaho could manage federal lands better, et cetera, et cetera. And I was a little disheartened to see that there was a lot of blame game going on and not a whole lot of let's look forward to how do we fix this? How do we get over this? How do we get beyond this? Instead, there was kind of a finger pointing going on from the community and blaming the Army Corps for, you know, for making the decision to close Springy Point and to reduce services at other recreational areas. And, you know, I guess my sympathies are with the Corps because they kind of have no choice. The federal hiring freeze, you cannot onboard anybody to take these positions. So, you know, I see both sides. You know, Springy Point's a beloved area that, you know, folks south of Long Bridge, they love to hang out at. And I've spent a lot of time there myself, and brings in money, and it's an economic and a cultural part of living on the lake. But, you know, if you don't have the staff, you don't have the staff. And so Senator Woodward was there. He asked a few questions about how, you know, can we transition this to a day use area similar to how Trestle Creek mm-hmm. is managed. And Taylor Johnson with the Corps, you know, he essentially said it's more complex than that. You know, it's not as simple as turning a switch and saying, okay, now this is day use. You know, you have the parking lot, the campground stuff, and the boat ramp. And if anybody's been there on a busy summer day, you understand that parking lot's not, you know, a neat, orderly place. It can sometimes be hectic, cars parking on Lakeshore Drive. So I can understand how that would be a logistical problem for them. And when they don't have the staff to take care of that stuff, and they don't have the staff to possibly help somebody out of in a medical emergency to get an ambulance in there, save somebody from, you know, from having a swimming episode or drowning or anything, that's tough. I understand why they're doing it. I wish that we had the staff to make it happen, and I wish we had the local support to somehow work with the Corps to make it happen.
Well, one idea has been floated out. There could be some volunteers at, you know, volunteer monitors for a day use type of area. And I would imagine if our legislators are talking with the Army Corps about that, that might be something that mm-hmm. is on the table. Yeah, I mean, the Corps does maintain the Trestle Creek recreation area, so it shouldn't be that much of a stretch to maintain or at least they'll provide access at Springy Point. I was talking with Jason Walker yesterday about parking, of course, but he mentioned one impact we might see in Sandpoint is the people that normally go to Springy Point are going to be coming to City Beach. So mm-hmm. the parking issues we have at City Beach might be exacerbated by this a bit. Because there's, well, you know, one of our major parks is kind of cut off now.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, you mentioned parking. No news on the parking front.
At least, well, there's news.
What's the parking news?
The eyewitness report this morning is the new paving is down in the main city lot there between, what is it, Main and Church. The striping's down. It looks like they're about ready to, you know, cut the ribbon. And
they've painted it now.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I missed that.
You know, we see so many times when governments say they're going to get stuff done in a certain amount of time, and I was frankly pretty dubious that they could get that done.
They said before Lost in the 50s.
I don't know.
Yeah. They're doing it.
They're doing it. It's 100% sure that it's going to be open by next weekend, and maybe just a day or two away, because it does look like it's darn near complete.
Looks like it. Well, okay. There we have it. It's 8:30. It's time for us to wrap this program up. Did we forget to ask you any important questions, Ben, about the week's news? Is there anything we failed to talk about?
Or what's coming up this week? Mm-hmm. Something hot that you're working on?
You know, we're actually having our editorial meeting in about a half an hour to discuss that. Okay. So I don't want to leak anything yet. but no, we're always looking ahead. And Zach's probably going to be diving into the council meeting on Wednesday and doing a recap on that as well. And there's always something going on. If it's not in the nation, then here in Idaho. And if not in Idaho, then here in Sandpoint, there's always something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two apartment buildings on Church, I think they're coming up the week of the 19th. Before the council, or I'm sure if it comes before the council.
I believe they're going to P&Z.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like, you know, the Farman family weighed in and said, you know, we don't want our name on that. And
and the developer agreed to that.
And the developer agreed to that. And then a lot of folks in town also have been up in arms about the parking stuff. So they kicked it back to P&Z, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. But the mayor and the planning director both are pretty strongly in favor of this project as a means of affordable housing. And to heck with the parking problems. they just said it's a perception that there is plenty. There is, you know, if they inventory the entire downtown area, there is on-street parking that's not used 100% of the time. And they point to that. But as somebody that has an office two doors down from those, Church Street is going to be accessible to anybody that any of the other businesses there. I think that would be my prediction.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it plays out. We should mention that you can do some early voting right now for the May 20th election. Early voting starting on Monday.
Yeah.
It continues through next week, through next Friday. And then, of course, the election is on Tuesday, May 20th. Check to make sure that there's something that you can vote on. There aren't any city elections with candidates, but the fire districts all have some pretty important levy issues that are going to be on the ballot. So if you live outside city limits, or even some people that are inside city limits might have some, I don't know if those overlap at all. And Ponderé as well is going to be voting on their local option tax for hotels, just hotels. Lodging, and then West Bonner County School District is going to be voting on a proposed levy that's really pretty critical for them. And we are going to have an interview with them next Wednesday, the 14th, that we'll be airing.
Okay.
On the morning show at 8 o'clock.
Tune in for that one. Okay. Well, Ben, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We're going to continue on with Otto's Eclectic Mix. Bird Note comes on at 9 o'clock. It's supposed to be a very lovely day, and then into tomorrow, and then we might get some rain on Mother's Day. But happy birthday to, or happy Mother's Day, happy birthday, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there coming up on Monday or on Sunday. Jeez, okay,
I'm gonna drink a coffee.
Now. Yeah, okay,
more coffee for this man. Yeah,
okay, thank you very much.